Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been following their curiosity and are committed to innovating how and what they brew. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and time now to look back at 2015.
Greg, that's a little bit of a track called Hit the Lights by Metallica. A reissue of its very first demo tape was the best-selling release of this year's Record Store Day. It wasn't a vinyl release. It was this replica of Metallica's first demo, the one that got them signed on a good old C60 cassette tape. And cassette tapes were back in a big way in 2015.
Yes, Jim, you know, we do this show every year where we celebrate our annual mixtapes, and we're going to get to that later on in the show, but let's pause to think about the technology of a quote-unquote mixtape. It's an anachronism. Most people are making, you know, iTunes or Spotify playlists now, or perhaps they're still burning things to CD. You don't see a lot of cassette mixtapes anymore. We've talked a lot about the resurgence of vinyl in the last few years, but believe it or not, one of the technology trends of 2015 has been the cassette. I mean, more and more bands and labels are starting once again to release music on tape. You can walk into an Urban Outfitters right now and pick up a Lana Del Rey cassette or a Run the Jewels tape.
To discuss this new old cassette trend, we're joined by Steve Stepp. He owns National Audio Company, a cassette manufacturer based in Springfield, Missouri. Steve, welcome to Sound Opinions.
Thank you for having me. Greg and Jim, hello to you.
So Steve, National Audio Company's been around since 1969. You must be one of the last surviving cassette companies in America.
We are the last major manufacturer of audio cassettes. There are several other small manufacturers in North America, both in the States and in Canada. We probably do 95% of all the audio cassettes manufactured in the Western Hemisphere, and we have our hands in the other 5%.
I think that's amazing that there's any competition at all in the cassette industry at this point. I mean, you've got to be blowing some of our listeners' minds right now, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, you've got some very loyal, longtime customers for all of these companies, and we want all of those customers to be happy and to be satisfied and be comfortable where they are. Best way to do that is to support our competition and keep them in business as well.
How many customers are we talking about?
We have about 30,000 accounts that we duplicate audio cassettes for. I can't tell you even how many we make blank tapes for, but we duplicate for about 30,000 accounts, both major and independent record labels, independent bands. We deal with a lot of publishing houses, people who do magazines and books for the blind and visually handicapped, and testing services. If you can record it, we put it on audio cassette.
You know, I don't want to seem biased, but it's easier to understand the blooming nostalgia and fondness and love for vinyl than it is to, you know, the misbegotten C60, C90. Have you got any theories about this? Why are people loving cassettes anew?
I think it's the same reason. The number one, we have a generation of people who were raised listening to MP3s through earbuds, and they thought that's what music sounded like. And then they got out some of that old vinyl or some of those old cassettes that their dad or their grandpa or their mother had, and they listened and they said, wow, that's what music's supposed to sound like. You know, they heard the harmonics and the full dynamic range of 40 to 20,000 cycles, and it wasn't all compressed. Vinyl and tape tend to sound very much alike as far as their analog sound, the warmth, and the presence. The second thing is the nostalgia. But this is an odd thing because the demographic group driving the return to tape and vinyl is the under 35 age group. So it's not really nostalgia. It's the desire to hold something in your hand, to be able to read that record jacket or the J card out of your audio cassette, to collect these things. It's that as well as the preference for the analog sound.
Part two of this, Steve, is, okay, you're making the cassettes, but you obviously need something to play the cassettes on.
That's right.
I mean, are they still manufacturing cassette recorders? I mean, are Walkmans still being made? I mean, what are people playing these cassettes on?
Well, I don't know about Walkmans, but I do know that TEAC Tascam has gone back into manufacturing the high-end line of audio cassette players and recorders that they had manufactured before. This began, I believe, back in the end of 2014 and has been going on all this year. In fact, we actually sell that product, and many other people do. But you can still buy the double cassette decks that you transfer from one tape to the other on. You can buy those that are combined with turntables for vinyl and, by the way, CDs, and those that connect with your computer and interface. So I would like to see somebody going back into building a Walkman-type player. I don't know of that at this time, but I think there certainly is a market, and those people who have the tooling should maybe consider going back into that.
Yeah, it seems like it would sell, just as certain turntables now are coming
it
back.
It definitely would, yes.
It's selling. So, okay, 30,000 accounts, Steve. Obviously, some of this is bigger labels, bigger
mm-hmm.
accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how closely do you work with your staffers who are getting, you know, orders from indie bands or indie rappers for 500 or 1,000 cassettes? I mean, are you surprised by some of the creative requests that are coming your way?
No. I work very closely with that. In fact, I actually do many of the quotations. Every job is individual. Every job is unique. And I'm not surprised at all at the unique nature of all these projects. Part of this is also, especially with the indie bands and the indie record labels, the artwork on the cassette, the artwork on the J-card, is a very important part of the product, and it's part of the allure of the product and the popularity of the product with the end users.
Yeah, it's a bigger palette to work on.
Yes.
A lot of the vinyl pressing that's being done today comes with a little card that if you also want to download it, you can do it.
Sir.
Did you guys do that as well?
We do.
So many of my cassettes, when they get gummed up, I stick my pencil in and I turn it. I like being able to do that because you cannot do that with an MP3. Is that the right way, Steve? I've always wanted to ask somebody.
The old square barrel Bic. That's the tried and true method. That's how you wind the slack out of an audio cassette.
All right.
Now
okay,
we
good.
Know.
Good to know.
The question has
good
been
know.
Answered by an expert.
There
excellent.
You go.
What about yourself, Steve, your listening habits? Do you actually listen to tapes? Do you make tapes?
Yes, I do at home. My car, unfortunately, does not have a cassette deck, and that's something we need to work on. I know that a few years ago, Chrysler would offer you, you could get a cassette deck combination with your CD player and so on your car if you ordered it from the factory, but it wasn't on the showroom floor. So I'd like to see those come back in cars, and I think if this retro movement continues to catch hold, and I believe it will, that you will see that option. But I listen to cassettes at home. Quite often I get home pretty late, and you know, I happen to be a model railroader. I go down in the basement and work on my old electric trains and listen to my cassettes. So how retro can that be?
I would imagine one of the issues here is will there be an industry around it, an infrastructure that will develop to maintain the cassette industry? I mean, we're talking about things like repair parts or competent, you know, production workers.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to train everybody, and all of our equipment is what we call orphans. Not only do the companies not build these models anymore, most of the companies that built the equipment are gone. So we have basically accumulated all the new parts for all of our cassette loaders and our cassette duplicators. We make the parts that we cannot replace with off-the-shelf parts. Unfortunately, all the local sources of audio cassette tape have gone out of business, and we rely on overseas supplies. So we will be making our own tape in this country within 2 years. Keeping the raw materials rolling is going to be the challenge, and I think we've got a good handle on that.
So the cassette, you think, has got legs. I mean, the pull quote from you, Steve, is that this is a business plan based on stubbornness and stupidity.
Absolutely. We are too stubborn to quit and too stupid to know that the cassette is dead. It's got 52 years of life behind it, and we are increasing sales at the rate of approximately 20% a year right now. And on the average, we'll have anywhere from 250 to 450 releases working in the plant here on any given day.
We We've been talking with Steve Stepp, the owner of National Audio Company in Springfield, Missouri. Thanks for being our guest on Sound Opinion, Steve.
You are welcome. Thank you, Greg and Jim. It's been a pleasure.
And we want to hear from you. What do you think of the cassette revival? Are you ready to break out your Walkman and your collection of cassingles? Give us a call on our hotline, 888-859-1800.
Now, the making of a good compilation tape is a very subtle art, many do's and don'ts. First of all, you're using someone else's poetry to express how you feel. This is a delicate thing.
You're listening to Sound Opinions. It is the end of the year, and in addition to capping our best albums of the year, Greg, we like to make a year-end mixtape. There's all these stray songs. Some are singles, some are just tunes that jumped out at us, we kept coming back to. I think we are equal partners, but you are the master of the mixtape. I don't even try to compete. I have fun with mine. I'll explain how I did it later. But you're obsessed by this. You start thinking, I think, on January 2 about the mixtape for the coming year. I admire that. How did you do this year's?
I always build my mixtape around a few songs, Jim. There's a few songs that really emotionally hit me right where I live, and they carry me through the year in some ways. They're signposts for the year. And then I start building themes around those songs. What do those songs mean to me? Why do I like them so much? Why do they resonate? And in some ways, they encapsulate the year for me. I think they hit me because whatever's happening in my personal life, whatever's happening in the world, I sort of try to bring that into the mixtape. This year's story was kind of a simple one. This whole idea of the line from inaction to action, to, you know, doing something about something that you feel is wrong or not going right in your life versus throwing your hands up and saying, I can't do anything to improve it. And it went from some personal matters. You know, I'm watching my mother go through some difficult times right now with her health and watching what's happening in the world right now. A kid in Chicago getting shot 16 times by a police officer. These kind of things have a huge impact on your life. And part of it is like, oh, that's just the way the world is. You can just sort of throw your hands up and sort of crawl back in your hole, or you can do something about it, starting with yourself. So I think the theme of the mixtape was that. I titled it Why Does It Shake after one of my favorite songs of the year, the Detroit band Proto Martyr, and it sort of built up to that theme. And the couple of songs I want to play from the mixtape kind of go together. 11th Dream Day, one of my favorite bands of all time, had a tremendous year with a new album. And the song that I want to play from it to kick off the mixtape is called Go Tell It. Rick Rizzo, the main songwriter in the band, sort of appropriating the theme from an old spiritual, an old black spiritual, Go Tell It on the Mountain, right? He just titles it Go Tell It. And I think it's almost like a call to action. It's like, get off your butt, do something. Followed by a track from another band that we haven't heard from in a while, Slater Kinney, with Surface Envy. I think their album was a good one. And I think this track in particular talks about the solidarity of what people can do together versus individual inertia. The individual is one thing, crawl back in your hole, you know, I feel powerless, but what can we do together? The key line for me on that song, Surface Envy, is only together do we break the rules. It's a really powerful anthem in that regard. So here's 11th Dream Day with Go Tell It, followed by Slater Kinney with Surface Envy on Sound Opinion.
The answer came to him, it was a quick one. I gotta get out of this place. He went to Habish, but he couldn't look down. The tracks began to rumble. The answer came to him. It was a quick one.
couple of songs from our 2015 mixtape, Call to Action from 11th Dream Day and Slater Kinney. 11th Dream Day with Go Tell It and Surface Envy from Slater Kinney. We're going to take a quick break on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX, and then more of my favorite songs of the year.
Word of life on severed trees.